Hi, I'm Atlee Hunter, and just wanted to talk to you today about some of the things I've found out about Windows Phone development over the last year and a half that I've been doing it. This is called What They Didn't Tell You About Windows Phone Development. These are lessons I've learned through coding and way too much soda. As I said before, my name is Atlee Hunter. I'm an MVP for Windows Phone Development, and you can reach me almost anytime at atlee_cmt@hotmail.com or on Twitter at Atlee Hunter. I always love to hear from developers, talk to developers, share tips and tricks and secrets, and learn. Always looking to learn. Anyway, so when you go to Microsoft's phone events, you'll see a slide that's very similar to this. They talk about all the great new things about Windows Phone, and I want to break them down and see what I found out, tell you what I found out about them, and what I think about each of these different pieces. They talk about the new and modern platform. They talk about the vibrant young app ecosystem. They found that it's transparent and fair marketplace. And they also say that your app can succeed on Windows Phone. So, what does this mean to developers? That's what we're here to talk about. I have broken this down by each one of these pieces, and we're gonna talk about each one of them and what I found out about them. And I don't work for Microsoft. I am an MVP, but I am completely independent. So I am more than willing to tell you what I found that was good and what I found that was bad. So hopefully we can all make the best decisions for our development going forward. New modern platform. I agree with this. I find that the platform doesn't look like all the other platforms out there. A lot of the platforms are starting to look a little cookie cutterish, and they look very, very similar to each other. I like the fact that you get more information in a single quick look. One of the nice things that we can do with our apps and what they've done with the apps that are built in is with the tiles, giving information that can both draw the user into your application and also give the user some of the information they need without having to open your application. These are huge advantages from a developer standpoint, because if you learn how to utilize these to enhance and add to the use and the enjoyment of your app will be a lot more successful. One of the other nice things is the clean lines. The UI is an absolute godsend for developers. You do not have to be a graphic genius to create apps for the Windows Phone. You do not have to, the outline and the framework is very, very clean, very even lines, very clear and basic concepts. Makes it really easy for me as a developer to create robust, innovative looking, yet not spend a huge amount of time on the overall graphic layout and outlook of the application. If I just follow the Metro UI guidelines, I find that I can get a very, very, very interesting, clean, precise, and easy to use UI out that the users can understand quickly and easily, and I can get out the door much faster than I can on some of the other platforms. And that to me is a huge benefit, because if I'm looking to build applications for platforms, I'm gonna look to build and get the most bang for my buck. And I find that so far, the Windows platform is giving me that. One of the other great things is you get to build games using the XNA framework. That's fantastic. It's one of the most popular gaming systems, if not the most popular gaming system in the world, is built right into the phone. And you have the ability to build one game and deploy it across three different platforms if you build your game the right way. You can do it. I mean, it's a simple matter of changing the graphics in some instances and modifying a little bit of the gaming code to handle the different timing cycles. But other than that, the platforms are almost exactly I like. And that is fantastic, because again, like I'm saying, more bang for your bucks. You build it once and you run it in several different places, which is usually our goal. Vibrant yet young app ecosystem. I hear people talking about the fact that the marketplace doesn't have that many apps in it, and there aren't a lot of apps, and there's a million apps here and there's 500,000 here. Think about it, you're a developer. Do you want to have, for me, as a developer, I don't mind competing against other apps, but I don't necessarily want to get lost in the shuffle. One of the nice things I like about the fact that the Windows marketplace is youngish. And I wouldn't say young, just because it's young. It's the youngest one out of the three major marketplace. But at 70,000 apps, there's nothing to sneeze at, and it got there much faster than any of the other platforms, which means it's going to hit them and pass them more than likely. If you look at how many developers there are that are developing for .NET and how easy it is, once you get started in this platform, once you see how easy it is, you probably think like I do, why the heck isn't everybody doing this? This is simple. But I'm going to take advantage of it while we're at 70,000 apps. I'm going to build a whole bunch of apps, hopefully build my brand, get established, and then maintain my apps, which I think personally is a fantastic time to do so, because right now there, if I want to build an app, there's not 1,000 of them out there already. There might be 40, 50, even maybe 100, but even that is probably not the case. So the nice thing is you can create an app that stands out without having a perfect storm of events happening. I saw recently, I've seen a couple, and I'm not sure if you've seen this, but I've seen radio ads or heard radio ads for iPhone apps. And to me, that's just scary, because if I had to spend the money to create a radio app to get people to recognize and to see my app, I really can't or don't want to compete at that level right now, because the cost of creating a radio ad is way more money than I want to invest in my app to see if it's popular or successful or not. So with the Windows Phone Marketplace, you've got the chance to create a big buzz, and I like that. The transparent and fair marketplace. Well, the fair process for featuring apps, I think it's actually pretty fair. If your app is good, if your app gets good reviews, if your app doesn't crash a lot, if your app is getting downloaded, it will get featured. And Microsoft's been really, really good about going all out to try and help developers with tons of different promotions, initiatives, online tutorials, all sorts of things to try and help developers figure out the best way to get their apps out there and to get them in front of the eyes. And that's the big thing. Getting your apps out in front of eyes is your big focus, is your big goal. Now, the fact that the guidelines are so clear and that the documentation is so available and so easy to find makes it really, really useful. I've certified tons of apps now, and I think I've only had one or two that have been rejected, and they were for very obvious reasons. And it was very easy to use the guidelines to make the repairs or make the changes that I needed to get my apps back out in the marketplace. So that coupled with the community, I mean, you've got the .NET community behind you. Most of the stuff that you're doing in the phone is going to equate directly back to standard .NET stuff. So you've got one of the largest developer communities in the world, if not the largest, available to help you. And that's actually really, really cool. And the number of phone developers out there is fantastic, and they then tend to be very sharing, giving, and supportive people, which is a very cool thing to have. So, from code to market quickly. Well, they're talking about the tooling is free and geared towards go-to-market quickly. It's the truth. You can't really dispute that. I am incredibly spoiled on Visual Studio. Visual Studio is a fantastic, evolved, robust, and well-developed system for developing software. And it all works. It just works. Expression Blend, even though I'm not a designer, Expression Blend I find really easy to use. I tend not to use it as much as maybe I should, but when I do have to use it, it's not a great big thing to learn or to understand. It's actually fairly straightforward, and it gets things done quickly and efficiently. And the nice thing is that the phone software that you're developing is based on languages that have been evolved and developed, and everybody uses them. Most of the people that are developing phone apps are using .NET at work. So you're just actually improving your skill set, which is fantastic. Silverlight is really robust, really easy to program for, and XNA. I find it's just .NET. Just got to think about the cycles versus the events. Other than that, it's pretty easy to do. So, we look at all of the different ecosystem trends, and when you're looking at them, the number of certified applications and games is growing at over 300 new apps per day. It's really, really growing, and it's really creating a buzz, and it's picking up speed. It's getting to that point. One of the things that I've heard people say is that they tend to like to sit back and wait until they see something's picked up, and I'm looking at what's going on right now in the Windows Phone development world, and it's really picking up steam. You're seeing some really big players come into the game, and this is a fantastic time to be developing for this platform, in my opinion, because you're early enough to get traction and to create a brand and create, you know, room for yourself, create your own identity, but not so early that you're, you know, yodeling in a big empty wind tunnel and nobody can really hear what you're doing. There's a number of phones. The number of phones is growing quite astoundingly every month now, with Nokia coming on board and their new phones coming on board. And I think that you're going to see that trend is just going to keep picking up. From what I've seen, anybody that's seen or tried the phone loves the phone. You've seen a number of people that have gone from other platforms and gone to the phone. And nobody I know that has the phone says they hate the phone. And that's a fantastic thing. That's actually kind of a unique thing, because I know a lot of people that hate almost anything. And I've handed them the Windows Phone, and they said, this is actually really easy to use and pretty good to use. So I think that once the platform has been put in front of more eyes, which is what the real push is for Microsoft and Nokia that I've seen so far, I think that you're going to see a big uptick in people buying the phones. And I've seen even just the trend in my own app downloads over the last few months. I've seen the uptake coming through. So just generic apps, the ones that I don't even support, I don't even haven't done any updates for in a couple of months, and I haven't really done any big support things for, I've seen their app, their downloads increasing over the past few months, which, I mean, means one thing. It means new phones. It means new people coming to the platform. It means new people doing searches in the marketplace. And that's just a good thing. I mean, my number of downloads has been steadily climbing every single month for the last year and a half. Not just because of the apps that I've been putting in, just over time. Like, it's evolving. It's increasing on its own. It's got a life of its own. It's actually kind of fun to watch. 20 downloads per user per month. I actually believe that. I find that people tend to download an awful lot of apps, and I have found myself that I get better traction on this platform than I get on other platforms. So I don't have any real big disputes with any Microsoft's claims. I think that it's been a really good platform, and I think it's only going to get better. Now, the two flavors of applications are Silverlight and XNA. Now, I really like XNA. I didn't think I was going to like game development, but I find that with XNA, it's actually really, really easy to do. If you get a chance at looking at the tutorials that are available, check them out, because they're really simple, really easy to use. Silverlight's been actually just really pleasurable to work with. It's been really pleasant to work with. I like the XAML and the C# code behind. I really enjoy it. I think it's easy to understand. It's easy to use, and I've had no problems with it. Nothing really that comes to mind. One of the other cool things is the tools that they've started building and evolving for getting from one platform to another. I've actually helped a couple people working with other platforms port their applications over to Windows Phone 7. And I find, I haven't used the Symbian in Windows Phone 7, but I've used the other two, and they are just insanely easy. The amount of actual recoding you have to do is surprisingly small, and I was really impressed with how it works and how it goes together. So if you're looking at moving your existing iOS or Android apps to Windows Phone 7, I've worked with people on trying to move an iOS to an Android app, and it's nowhere near as pleasurable an experience. This is honestly one of the nicest things that I've found, is that their ability to get your existing applications on the platform is just, it's almost a seamless and as streamlined as you can make it, pretty much. They put a lot of work into supporting developers all the way through from every angle, from the development tools, from moving developers from one platform to another, and making all of their other tools interop and work together. It's been quite interesting, quite easy to use. Now, this is the one thing that I always hear from people, is that I don't have time. I don't have time to build an app. I really want to build a Windows Phone app, but I don't have time. This is something I hear honestly, just about daily, at least weekly. And I really think that there's only one thing you can say to that. Time is what you make of it. You can find time for anything. We all have time that we spend doing different things, and it's just a matter of setting your priorities and deciding what you want to do. Case in point, I don't really have any more time than you guys do. I have a full-time job. Okay, I work 50, 60 hours a week. I'm a single dad. I have two daughters to take care of. I have a 1-hour commute each way to work. So all that together means I don't really have an awful lot of time, but so what? If you want to do something, you will always find a way to make the things happen that you want to do. I was able to make 7 apps in 7 days, just because I wanted to test the theory. I wanted to see if I could develop 7 whole applications in 7 days. And I forced myself to come up with 7 app ideas that I'd never come up with before, hadn't worked on before, hadn't even thought of before. I had to come up with a new app idea in the morning when I woke up, could think about it while I was getting ready for breakfast, getting my breakfast and getting the kids off to school and getting myself off to work. And then I stop, and I didn't do anything all day about the application. I just concentrated on my job. I didn't even work on the app at lunch. I didn't think about the app at lunch. Just basically did my job, did what I normally did. On my drive home, I could think about the app. So I had an hour to think about the app and try and plan how I was going to do it, what I was going to do, and what was going to happen. And in some cases, I was actually still trying to come up with an app on the way home. So, on the way home, I get home, I have to make dinner for my daughters, give them any help they needed with their homework, and then around 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, I could start working on my app. And I put a new app in the marketplace every single day for 7 days. So, that's an extreme case. I don't necessarily think people are going to generally do that all the time. But also case, in fact, once you get playing around with the platform, it gets even easier to use. I built 5 apps last weekend. We had a 3-day weekend, I built 5 apps. I didn't have any other plans, and I wasn't feeling great, so I locked myself into a room and spent a couple of days just getting better and building apps. And you can do basically anything you want to do. And that's noble. Anyways, tips and tricks. Some of the things I've actually come across, some of the things that I found that hopefully will help you guys in your quest to develop better and bigger apps and more successful. Well, one of the first things is you don't necessarily have to build the bigger app. First thing you got to do is think of the user, not yourself. I have apps that I built just for me. And those apps, I don't really care if anybody downloads them. I built them because I want them to work the way they work, and they work that way for me. So that works out really, really well. But in a case where I want to make money from the apps, that doesn't work out at all. Usually the idea that you have is probably a good one, but as developers, we tend to overthink them. We tend to be wanting to put 8,000 features and make it the most amazing flashlight that ever occurred on the face of the planet. And it has to be able to do absolutely everything, plus Morse code, plus, I don't know. Kill ants too. I don't know. You don't necessarily have to do that. You have to make something that will let people do what they want to do. And one of the things that I remember my friend Paul is always saying, make users awesome in the moment. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make the user really happy that they got that thing done, whatever they're trying to do. One of the other things you can do is when you're building your UI, is be as predictable and obvious as you can. There should be no questions. When someone grabs your app, if they've got to ask you a question, you haven't made it obvious enough. You haven't been predictable enough. If one of the things I like to do is I like to take my apps and hand them to different people that I know that don't necessarily use phones a lot and are not programmers and don't, maybe are not technically savvy or necessarily techie people. And if I hand it to them and they can just use it and they smile, then I know I've won. As soon as they go, well, how do I do this? Or do I click here to do that? Then I've missed something. I've not been obvious enough. I've not been predictable enough. And I find that my apps that do that are just obvious and just insanely easy to use. And honestly, simplest, dumbest apps tend to be the most popular. I've got one app that is 5 lines of code and it's downloaded more than 1,000 times a day. It's absolutely insane, but it's insanely easy to use. It's very obvious what it does. It only does one thing and it does it very, very well. So it's really popular. Also, any way that you can put in your app to give yourself the ability to communicate with your users is a bonus. I've had a number of situations where people have said, oh yeah, I used your app, but I didn't really like this, so I uninstalled it. And you're thinking, why didn't you tell me? Sometimes they don't know it's you. And in more cases, they have no idea who you are. So what you need to do is give yourself the ability to have the users provide your feedback. I try to include an email support or a feedback button or menu item in all of my apps. And I get a good 3 or 4 emails a week from people asking questions or saying, hey, can you build this feature? Oh, this would be awesome if you did this. And you know what? It's really helped me drive my development and improve my apps. I find that I build better apps and I think of things a little more differently because I actually get to talk and I get to hear from the real actual users, the people that are using it, not just me and my friends who are always basically going to shine and tell me that I'm wonderful unless they're mad at me. Coding. One of the things you want to do is learn the begin invoke from the dispatcher. That actually will help you in a lot of scenarios to get unnecessary processes and things off of your UI thread. And what you want to do is try and get things off the UI thread and try and make things as asynchronous as possible. This will always help the user get the cleanest, clearest, most robust UI experience while giving the ability to actually get some real work done in the background. Now, you don't necessarily want to overload your application with begin invoke because then they'll start to run into each other and you'll actually create more problems than you'll solve. But it's definitely something worth looking at and understanding in order to help optimize some of those data scenarios and some of those application scenarios. One of the other things you want to do is to make your code more maintainable, cut down the copy and paste. What I usually do in any app where I'm going to use MVVM, I use a base view model. I actually created a library for myself that has some of these things that I use in every single application. It's called the Lazy Library, which will be going up on Coplex this month. I've been putting it off for months and months and months, but pending another thing that I'm going to be announcing later on this month, that's all going to stop, and that will definitely go up this month. But one of the things in it is a base view model, which contains the event and the event handler for that property notify change event, or notify property change event. And that's really useful because then you don't have to copy and paste it into every single view model that you do. You just have everything inherit from the base view model, and your code gets a little cleaner, a little more maintainable, and also a little more portable if you want to move it to another type of application or another platform. Now, also, you can create some dynamic on-the-device tiles using some simple code loops. And I've got a session on that, and there's going to be a blog post going up shortly about this as well. But what that basically comes down to is some of the more complex problems that you're going to come across can easily be broken down into really, really simple problems. And if you think about them long enough, and if you think about them the right way, you're going to find that they can actually come down to some really simple, easy things. When I started working on one app, I wanted to make the tiles dynamically appear on the app without having to use push notification, just because I wanted to be able to create a more robust, a more immediate tile experience than using push notification. Excuse me. And so I started implementing all sorts of wild scenarios on how I would do this in the background thread and generate and build and this and that. And what I ended up coming down to is having it build, dynamically create the tile graphics in my app when my app closed, but basically building all the tiles I was going to need for the next period of the future based on, you know, several different queries and several different information stores, and generating the tiles, and then just dynamically checking to make sure that the right tile was showing in the background task. So I was able to greatly reduce the amount of code that I needed, first of all. Secondly, the amount of time and effort needed to be done in the background thread, plus something much more maintainable, much more portable. So if you think about your problems, your code issues, or your use case problems, you're probably going to find that there are several different ways to handle it. And if you think about it long enough, you can usually find a way that ends up being a lot more robust than you would have initially thought originally. One of the other things that I found is that I had scenarios where people were saying that they were losing data in my apps. My apps were just, excuse me, they were just throwing away data and they couldn't figure out where the heck the data went. So what I did was I found a couple of articles and found out that if you use a mutex to ensure that your code gets properly executed when you're loading serialized data from your isolated storage, you can cut down on the incidences of that isolated storage file getting corrupted and thereby losing data. So you definitely want to look up using a mutex, especially in conjunction with loading, deserializing data from isolated storage, because it will save you a lot of time and effort and a lot of really, really frustrating research, because I know that I spent a lot of time banging my head on that, so I definitely want to make sure you guys know about it. Now, one of the other things, you'll find that a lot of this talk is mostly marketing stuff, because I think that, from my point of view, a lot of the coders know how to code. So, I mean, I showed you a couple of the code things that you can do that will help you, basically, especially in conjunction with Windows phone applications. But when it comes to building Windows phone applications, you're just building applications, and most of you guys know how to do that. If you have specific scenarios, definitely email me, contact me on Twitter, get a hold of me in some way. I have no problem helping you work out different scenarios. But in general, it's .NET code. Most of us know the .NET code that we're going to be using. The things that we don't know, the things that I'm hoping that I can help you guys figure out or learn or get from this will be some of the things that are not necessarily development knowledge items. They're more, oh crap, I can do that and I can do this. And they, when it comes to things like marketing and managing a product, because that's the part that most of us don't actually do as developers. Usually there's a whole team of people in the company that does that for us. We work on getting the code out there. So I'm not going to basically go too much into code today, as you may have seen, but I definitely do want to get into some of the marketing things. So in that vein, getting your application out there is essential. Okay. One of the nice things about .NET and Windows Phone is that you can get your application in the market faster than you can on any other platform. I would be pretty much willing to sit down head-to-head with anybody on Android or iOS and come up with the same app idea, and I guarantee I'll get it to market faster than they will. I'll get it ready in a releasable product faster than they will. It doesn't really matter. It's one of the reasons .NET was so popular in business, and one of the reasons .NET and the Windows Phone are going to be so popular going forward. You don't get bogged down. You don't get, you're not writing 10 billion lines of code. A lot of the stuff is handled for you. You can concentrate on your business or your use case issues. So, that being said, what you do want to do is you want to get your application out there. You build a functional app. You don't have to build every single feature in the world. What I tend to do, and I built my first few apps, built way too much stuff, and it took me way too long, and some of them died. They're still sitting on my laptop, haven't been released yet. I will basically look at them, probably throw away all that work, and redo it again, knowing what I know now. The reason being is that I found out that if you build the, you decide on what your app's going to do, the basic, what's my basic function on my app? You build that. You get that out there. You get 80% of your app out there. You are going to come up with 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or even another 80% of ideas, concepts, features. That's fantastic. Write them all down. Keep them. Those are your future versions. The reason you do that is that you can get your app to market. You can get it out there. You can start getting some feedback. Because what you'll find is if you, like I said earlier, if you give your users the ability to send back feedback, you may find out that they all say, hey, this feature that you were maybe thinking of building is really important, while this other feature you're thinking of building doesn't even come up. So then you can focus on the things that the users are actually using, and you can keep updating your app. The more you update your app, the more chances it has to come up within the new sections, okay, and within the features, the featured apps. Plus, you can make sure that you get it out there on every update to have it reviewed by app reviewing sites. And there's tons of them out there. If you do that, you are going to give yourself a much better chance of creating a sustainable, dynamic, living thing in your app. You're going to be able to garner much more interest. You're going to be able to garner much more feedback. You're also going to have that much more, you're going to be in front of their faces that much more. If your app keeps coming up with updates, people see that it's being supported, it's being updated, it's being kept up, you are going to keep them using it. Or you're going to get ones that have just seen it seven times, you're going to finally download it just to see what the heck this thing is that keeps popping up in front of them. The other thing is if you have a user that downloads it, and they use it for a while and then they stop using it, which is very, very common in phone apps, and you keep doing updates, guess what? Your app will keep popping up in the updates in their phone. And what they're going to do is they're going to be, oh yeah, oh, how come I haven't used that app in a couple of weeks? I'm going to use it again. And then if you're doing something like ads or ad and trial, you're going to have a much better chance of making more money or getting the user to then roll over and get your app as a paid app. Regularly check on your app progress. In your market share, in your Windows marketplace, you do have to check on how your apps are doing. You should know pretty regularly how many apps, how many downloads you have, what your best app is, how it's doing. I have an app that I built, and I'm getting this from experience, because I had an app that I built, a recorder that did really well when it first started, and then just petered right off. And so I started looking at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's crashes, tons of crashes. Turns out there was a bug in my app that I didn't know about, and because I didn't let the users tell me how to do it, and I wasn't checking on it, I wasn't seeing all the crashes. When I found out what the crashes were, I went back, it was a really simple fix, fixed it, updated the UI a little bit, made some changes based on feedback that I went out and got, and now my app is one of my most popularly downloaded apps, and it's constantly going. It's like it's given it a whole new life. So you've got to pay attention to how your app is going and how your app progresses. Check and see if it's downloaded tons and then it stops and peters off, find out why. Sometimes it could be just you need to do an update, or something happened, or maybe another app came into the marketplace and it's got one feature that you don't have. Then you have the chance to say, hey, look, that app has that feature. Maybe I should do that, or maybe I should do this. And you can modify your app and get yourself back in the running and back up and improve your downloads again. Definitely pay attention to your crash reports, okay? Crash reports and reviews will definitely let you know what you need to do with your apps, okay? And it's definitely something you're going to want to do. You can also make use of things like Twitter and Facebook to see what people are saying about your app. Put up a Facebook page that showcases your apps. Give people the opportunity to see them on Facebook and like them, and use those things to help improve your market share, help improve your brand, help improve your the number of eyes that end up seeing your apps. Definitely try and find any way you can to communicate with the users. You know, they used to always say there's no such thing as bad press, but in this day and age there is. You've got to maintain and look at these social networking tools, because if they don't like your app, they can tell you, and that definitely can help you in a lot of ways. It can help you both improve your UI development, help you improve your overall app development, or just help you fix bugs. Now, making money. This is where most of us are coming out to this for. I started this originally to learn the framework, to see how everything went, worked, and how to put it all together. This year I'm working on making money. And there's a lot of things to think about. You can look at paid versus trial. Do you make it free? Do you make it trial with ads? Do you make it free with ads? There's a bunch of different scenarios that you can look at, and you definitely should explore them. One of the things is, if you think about what your app experience is supposed to be, or what the user's experience is going to be in your app, it'll actually tell you in a lot of cases how you can make money with it. If you have an app that needs all of the screen real estate and absolutely has to have in order to function properly, then you know what, maybe ads are not the best thing for it, right? But if you have an app that needs in-app purchase, thing that sucks is that doesn't really exist from built into the system yet, but there's some great third-party options. But if your app scenario uses in-app purchase, that's the way to go, right? Like, think about your app experience. A lot of time that'll tell you how you can make money with it. If you're going to use ads, Microsoft ads do give you some of the best payback for any of the ad vendors. I've looked at several of them. You get paid for impressions and click-through, which is very cool. The control is actually built into the SDK now, which is nice. Big problems are, though, it's not available everywhere, so the ads don't play everywhere. And it does count towards your crash count, so you do have to make sure that you do your error handling, because that control tends to crash out if it can't get online to get ads. It also tends to crash out if it's in a region where it can't get ads, and sometimes it just crashes out for whatever reason, can't connect to the server or other things like that. So definitely can't stress it enough, do your error handling, because I have had a couple of apps where 80% of the errors that were in it, 90% of the errors were from the ad control. You definitely have to mitigate that, and you have to handle that. So keep that in mind. So it's time to go build some apps. There are, like I said, 70,000 apps. it's not too many apps for you to make a splash. You can make a big splash, and honestly, the tools are cool. I found that out of all the platforms that I've worked with, it's the easiest one to work with. It's the best paying overall. That being said, I'm really looking forward to Nokia selling a lot more phones, and hopefully some other vendors will get on and sell some phones as well. But Microsoft has been doing everything they can to support developers and help them. So, and I'm always happy to help support and work with developers. So if you ever need any help or and have any questions, by all means, go to create.msdn.com and check out the forums there, or email me at atlee_cmt@hotmail.com, or ping me on Twitter at atleehunter. I hope that you guys found this useful and enjoyable, and thank you very much for listening. Thanks. Bye.